Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book. Available at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is the Mormon version of the gospel an eternal life hack? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. There was an article in the January 2019 edition of Ensign Magazine. It was written by Lori Fuller, and under her name it merely says Church Magazines. We're not really sure what she does with Church Magazines, but apparently she is an author because it is published in this edition of Ensign. It was titled The Gospel, An Eternal Life Hack. And there were some things that Ms. Fuller says in this piece that I don't think you, Eric, or I know myself, would have a whole lot of problems. But she does talk about commandments and keeping of commandments and how God gives commandments that actually helps us. And she gives some examples. And I think at face value, I wouldn't have a problem at all with some of the things she says. But there's things that she doesn't say in this piece that I think need to be discussed, because when we discuss those things that she doesn't talk about, I think some of her premises might tend to then be faulty. But what caught your attention on this article, Eric, and what I think should catch everybody's attention who reads this, is there's a pull quote off to the left-hand side on page 42. What does that say?
Have you ever thought about how keeping the commandments makes life so much easier? Now, when I read that and the title, The Gospel, An Eternal Life Hack, I mean, I'm thinking the idea of justification that Christians believe comes by faith alone, but in Mormonism it does not, based on the scriptures, based on what the leaders say. And keeping the commandments makes life so much easier in Mormonism. The Mormon is struggling to try to keep all those commandments, and they're not doing a very good job of that.
But she does bring out some examples, as I said earlier, that I don't think we would have a problem with. Because, folks, listen, yes, God does give his creation certain standards and guidelines, commandments, if you will, that if we follow them, life will be easier. There's no doubt about that. And this is what she's trying to bring out. Maybe we should let Lori Fuller do the talking. So let's start off with her first paragraph. What does she say?
This is on page 42. It says, last month, some friends and I were catching each other up on our week. One friend shared that he was taking on the burden of his mom's alcoholism recovery. He was just younger than me, and that sounded like the worst task ever. Later that night, the conversation moved to how expensive smoking is and how someone we knew had been going through a pack of cigarettes a day. Do the math, it's so much money. She was trying to quit and was going through withdrawals. Her son was really happy she was quitting, though. His dad had died of a drug overdose, which made any drug use that much scarier for this kid. Finally, our conversation ended on coffee, how much people drink every morning and afternoon and sometimes night, and how they miss their lattes now that they couldn't afford them daily. As I drove home thinking about all these conversations, I had the thought, the word of wisdom is basically the biggest life hack ever. And then she writes in parentheses, if you don't know, a life hack is a way to make your life better, living more efficiently, etc. As someone online described it, a life hack is what was formerly known as a good idea. It's as if God said, here's a way to save you money, help you stay healthy, protect your kids, and avoid really tough emotional burdens, including your own and others' addictions. It's almost as if God anticipated all the problems we'd be up against and gave us a way to avoid half of them.
Well, when she says it's almost as if God anticipated, now we believe that God is all-knowing, so nothing catches God by surprise. I think, though, because Mormons do believe in this word of wisdom, which of course has a prohibition on coffee, that could be questionable, because is coffee really detrimental to your health? Does it cost? Yes. And if you were to go buy your lattes at a Starbucks or another coffee shop, yeah, it does add to some money. But doesn't the same thing happen when Latter-day Saints drink their big gulps of Mountain Dew and other drinks that have the caffeine content in it that does basically what coffee is doing?
Let's just remind everyone that the Word of Wisdom in D&C Section 89 doesn't say coffee per se. It says hot drinks. I always find it interesting that Mormonism has taken that to mean coffee and tea when it doesn't say that. But what about hot chocolate? If you go down to Temple Square during the festival that they have with the lights, everybody's walking around with a cup of hot chocolate. That's a hot drink. What's the difference? And so it's interesting. She points out coffee here.
Yeah, but she goes on to say this in the next paragraph. She says, with any of God's commandments, we have the choice to follow them or ignore them. But as I thought of the Word of Wisdom as a set of guidelines from God that both anticipates and protects us from so many challenges, I thought, what if all of God's commandments work that way? What if a loving Heavenly Father who has experienced this life and its challenges has given a guidebook to help us navigate the world as painlessly as possible? And what if He gave that to us because He loves us and wants to protect us?
Bill, I found it interesting that she mentions a loving Heavenly Father who has experienced this life and its challenges. I think we both read past that the first time we read it, and then later we came back and caught that. We're not talking about Jesus here. We're talking about Heavenly Father, who didn't live in this life, but rather it must be referring to Heavenly Father living in a previous world.
And that's exactly what Mormonism teaches. And Joseph Smith did teach that God the Father was once a man who lived on an earth similar to this one. And through his obedience to the commandments that were given him by, obviously, a God that preceded him, that's how this human came to be known as Heavenly Father within the context of Mormonism. Then she talks about the benefits, for instance, of Exodus 20, verse 17, and says, you want to be content with what you have, to be happy and grateful, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Then she goes on, quoting Exodus 20, 15, want to avoid guilt, incarceration, crippling bail, and court fees. Want to keep people's trust and respect in your job? Thou shalt not steal. Now, Eric, would you have a problem with any of these issues that she's listing here in her piece?
As long as it's talking about sanctification, of course not, because the Bible's very clear that we're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, as Philippians 2, 12 says. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship created by Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So, no, I have no problem with that.
Now, to be fair to Lori Fuller in this piece, she is not trying to say that commandment keeping is far superior than the doctrine of grace as we evangelicals understand it. She may believe that, but she doesn't seem to be bringing that out in this piece. She's merely making the case that if an individual was to follow God's commandments, that life, in her opinion, would be easier. Now, certainly, as we have mentioned, we think that God gives commandments to protect His creation. He does not normally give commandments just to rain on our parade and just to be mean. Now, having said that, there are also commandments in the Old Testament that don't really have anything to do with the physical protection of the creation or the follower of God, but they are there to remind the children of Israel in the Old Testament of covenant promises that they are supposed to remember. We're not doubting that. For instance, the mixing of fabrics. If you mixed your fabrics, would that bring about some kind of physical malady? No. But the reason why that's there in the Old Testament was its symbolism was to remind the children of Israel that they were not supposed to mix with those that were unbelievers, that they did have a responsibility to follow what God dictated for them because it would only have a benefit for them. And I think sometimes Latter-day Saints tend to ignore the fact that we as evangelicals do believe that commandment keeping certainly has its part. We are not saying you shouldn't do that. Although I find that many times Mormons do seem to have that stereotype. Well, all you believe is that just put your trust in Christ and go out and kill people. We're not advocating that at all. Killing people, violating that commandment of you shall not murder, certainly would not be something we see as giving honor and glory to God. So we would not want to engage in a practice like that. But this is the stereotype many of them have. And I wanted to do this show because I think it's important for us to allow our Latter-day Saint friends to know that we certainly do believe that God gave commandments, and keeping commandments are not a bad thing. The problem we have is when you elevate commandment keeping to the requirement of even achieving eternal life. Because it's in that context where we find the pull quote on page 42 that says, "Have you ever thought about how keeping the commandments makes life so much easier?" We would argue that in the context of Mormonism, I'm sure that a lot of Latter-day Saints would say that the demand on them to keep the commandments, not just some of them, but all of them, would not make life so much easier. In fact, it causes quite a burden upon the life of the Latter-day Saint, who sees themselves as a sinful individual that struggles to do what is right at all times. We all have that problem.
I think part of the problem for me when I first started reading this article was the title itself, because when you use the word gospel, that has a particular meaning when you come to what Mormon leaders have talked about. Let me give you an example. We have 12th President Spencer W. Kimball. In the teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, page 502, he says, "Ordinances are basic to the gospel. Now, what is the gospel to which we speak? It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the code of laws and commandments which help us to become perfect, and the ordinances which constitute the entrance requirements." When I hear the word gospel, there's a huge difference between what Spencer Kimball is talking about and what the Bible talks about in the New Testament.
And that's a very good point, because they have a definition of the gospel that is quite different than the definition that we would have. The gospel is good news, but when you start inserting laws and commandments in order to gain the benefits of this good news, then the good news becomes bad news. And that's merely what we want to bring out. We're not having a problem with keeping God's commandments, what we would call sanctification. The problem we have is when the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints makes commandment keeping necessary if the individual member of the Mormon Church wants to be justified.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Pastor, could your congregation benefit from a presentation that explains the differences between Mormonism and New Testament Christianity? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson would be honored to come to your church. Whether it's a single crash course or a weekend symposium, hundreds of churches have benefited from their fully documented and easy-to-understand PowerPoint presentations. If you'd like to schedule MRM at your church, simply write us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org.